Okay, so we had an introduction last week in which we understood some of the amazing additional strategies of Nehemiah, so that now that he has managed to change everything in terms of the way the people view themselves and has created the beginnings of the Medina, which we traced to the halachas of the Machane itself. Ah, beautiful. The Machane itself. In that Machane, we have the Dinam of Seta, and we have the Dinam of Nazir, and we have the idea in which each individual becomes immensely choshev, and even intimate relationships are part of the way in which the Am as a whole is responsible in the Machane, even things like Gezel HaGer, and all of these things, remarkably, are merumas here in this Perek, and it's something that happens by itself. In other words, the way in which he's changed the perceptions by creating the nature of a Medina and giving the chashivas to Yerushalayim, because of that there's been the chashivas to kol ha-katuv, the chayim b'Yerushalayim, such that everyone there who until now never complained, we didn't find that there were any complaints, all of a sudden believes that the Dinei HaTorah and the way in which the Torah is makpid on things that have to do with giving tzedakah, with treating other people with dignity, with responsibility, and with the way in which the Am becomes interrelated with the Arvus of the Am, and the Digle Ha'am, and the nature of the Machane as a whole, suddenly takes root in and of itself without him doing anything about it, anything additional about it. And now, all of a sudden, things have changed. And all of a sudden, the Tzakat Ha'am becomes a Tzakat that reaches and that forces a social change which he now sees as being central to Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillah, v'niflinu ani v'amcha b'kol ha'amim, and that it's essential that everybody sees the yichud of Yisrael and the difference of Yisrael, and we're no longer acting as individuals, we are acting with the koyach of the Machane. Because of that, we find already a remez to the dinam of Satan, and to the way in which he has his shvuas ha'Allah, and which it means that the way in which they're treating the women and the daughters already becomes part of the business of everyone. And he has the Su'uda is for gerim and a relationship to the Sarim of the other Umais, and speaks about how it is that they need to view Yisrael. So there's tremendous change. I want to point out that there's also, we spoke about many other things, obviously, last week in the introduction. I'm not going to review them. I want to point out that it goes beyond this, and that we saw that Chazal focus on the words of Nehemiah here as being the reason that he loses his name from the Sefer. There's a machlokas in the Gemara whether the reason that he loses his name is because he mentions Zochrenu L'Ayla Tova, or because he compares himself to the other pachot that were there before him, and he says that he was better than them, and that includes, says the Gemara, even Daniel. He compares himself favorably to Daniel, who was Gadol Mimeno, and because of that, he lost his shame. Now, the very fact that there's a machlokas in the Gemara about which one of these things was the important nekuda that cost him the shame of the Sefer means that the other Mandiyamar holds that the thing that his opponent said was the problem was not the problem. So if you hold the issue is Zochrenu L'Ayla Tova, so then it means that it's not a problem to say that what it is that the Pachot HaRishonim did. And if you hold that the problem is the Pachot HaRishonim, it means there's no problem with Zochrenu L'Ayla Tova. Whatever that means is, it certainly tells us that the issue is an extremely subtle issue. I mean, because if according to some it's perfectly okay, then that means that we're not talking about something that everybody, oh my gosh, that's terrible, how could you do that? Clearly it's not, oh my gosh, that's terrible, how could you do that? And That means, in order to understand that fully, we need to recognize that another transition is going on. We have been focusing on the transitions that Ezra has made with the most incredible chokhmah in terms of recognizing what the yesodos are in the Torah of how it is that a Beis HaMikdash is meant to create an Am, in a sense, and not the opposite. And therefore, how his understanding of the extension of Ezra's work into a Medina, and how that will change everyone in terms of how they view themselves, and how it will change the enemies in terms of how they view us. And this becomes even central to Purim in terms of the difference between the Orei HaBrazot and the Orim, which were already Mukafas Chaimah, Mimas Yeshua Ben Nun, and the sense of protection. And as the Gemara talks about it, Megillah, what is exactly the point of having that idea of Mukafot Chomah? But obviously, the special halachas that are dealt with in the Dinim of Bati Arima and Orim Mukafas Arichaimah is not a small issue. It has everything to do with the coming back to Eretz Yisrael. That's the whole sugya in Megillah about finding the cities that were Mukafot Chomah, identifying them, rebuilding those chomot. And the Gemara in Megillah goes through the various cities that had been rebuilt with their chomot during the course of the years, whether it was in terms of El Baal or whether it was some of the Malachim and so on. It's amazing things. So in other words, it isn't just Yerushalayim, which is the ultimate idea of the Yer Chomah that is rebuilt, that creates a sense of presence for Yisrael. It's Bechlal, the Inyan of the Chomah and its relationship to Bias HaAretz, even at the time of Yeshua, and certainly over here we're trying to reassert. And that's the Koshetale Misoret Biyatchem Mi'avotechem Lemor. That idea, that Misoret Mi'avotechem, and the desire to identify these cities and to be part of them is mamish part of the Shiva of Klal Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael. Alachas kama v'kama, the specific din of Yerushalayim, it means that he achieved something that everybody thought was impossible because he didn't feel that he needed to achieve it. He felt that it would achieve itself if only he were to allow it to develop the way that the Torah had provided for its development. And there was no such thing in the Torah as an isolated Beis HaMikdash. As simple as that. So if Ezra goes and builds a Beis HaMikdash, until there's a clear-cut chomah, that is the mechitzes of Machane Yisrael, Soviv, and that gives us the dinim of Machane Yisrael, we don't really have a Mikdash. That's Rambam Shita, that the Mikdash includes that chomah. The Mikdash includes that element of Yerushalayim. So we call it Medina or Mikdash, depending on the shitas of the Rishonim. Obviously, there's something very profound in this interrelationship of Ezra and Nehemiah, which is the interrelationship of the Machane Shechina to the Machane Yisrael. And that implication is throughout, especially in Parshas Nosei, which is why we find here that there was even a Shvuas HaAlah, as we pointed out last week, literally a Shvuas HaAlah, in which he creates an Allah, that anybody has to go along with this, that this is what's going to happen to them, he's Mashbiya the Kayanim, that they should be the one to administer the Shvuah, and so on and so forth. But there's an entirely different side that we have been ignoring to Nehemiah. And it's that side that suddenly comes to the fore in this parak. And it's the very fact that we have this issue of his comparing himself to the other pachot and his Zochrenio Ayla Tova that brings us face to face with the reality of the profound tipping point that has been reached over here. And the proof that it's a tipping point is in the very fact that in the next parak, for the first time, Nehemiah as an individual becomes the target of the enemies of Yisrael. Not Yisrael, not Yerushalayim, but Nehemiah. They want to find a way to knock Nehemiah off. Now that clearly is an immense new issue. And how did it happen? It happened because we've been ignoring some other very profound change. The other profound change is the absolutely astonishing genius by which Nehemiah establishes himself as the authority in Eretz Yisrael. I mean, this is absolutely crazy. If you take a look at the gradations in which first he comes in, and we saw that whole idea that he had of presenting himself as sort of an ombudsman, you know, to bring the complaints of the Jews, the Melech, and that's the first reaction. Ah, this is terrible. Somebody's going to take the side of the Jews. That's awful. And then he doesn't tell anybody about his plans, you know. Now all of a sudden he's embarking on this project, and the enemy's first reaction is, what, Al HaMelech Atem Mordim? And that completely disappears. You know why it disappears? Because basically they get the message. Go right ahead. Send as many messages and runners as you want to the king. And undoubtedly they did. It made absolutely no difference. It was clear that Nehemiah was within an authority that they had no notion that he had. And therefore, they immediately stop after that point. They stop all of these accusations about the king. Now they try to prevent things by psychological warfare and so on and so forth. But they no longer have the guts to try to deal with it in the open after, as Nehemiah points out, after they realize that God has turned all their plans and rent them asunder. Fine. But remember that he's still, as far as the Jews are concerned, he is still being Oisek in the mitzvah of the extended shlichus of Ezra. So where Ezra built the Beis HaMikdash, Nehemiah sees that it's important to extend the Beis HaMikdash into Yerushalayim. So far, there's no big news to them. You understand that what happens in this parak, literally, Nehemiah becomes the mob. He literally brings the mob. He is irresistible. What Nehemiah wants, Nehemiah gets, and he knows how to get it. So now among the B'nai Yisrael themselves, all of a sudden the man, without ever having declared himself as an authority, all I am, after all, is an Evet to the Melech attempting to help the Jews, now I am bossing around all the noblemen that before they thought, oh, look at this, you know, he's rebuilding and he's giving us the chashivas of, you know, our mansions and the parts of the wall that we're in charge of, and everything has our name, great guy, great guy. And all of a sudden, having established himself as a great guy, now he is suddenly Mr. King. And in the context of Mr. King, he's putting on all of these vast banquets, and the different governors are coming to visit and calling upon him and so on. He has transformed himself. In the context of that transformation, the Goyim get the message as well. This guy ain't going away. This guy doesn't just have a plan. This guy's taking over. And it's at this point where they realize, and this is something that he said before, I never told anybody the whole story. That he says back in the second parak. So I never told anybody the whole story. You know, and then afterwards I tell them, you know, yes, we're so lucky that the king has backed this. Yes, we're so lucky HaKadosh Baruch Hu has shown favor to us. But little does he let on what we discovered way back by penetrating into what was really happening in the opening parak. Little do they understand that he is the buddy of Artaxasta. He is not just a guy. He's the guy that Artaxasta shares, the only guy perhaps that he shares with, they will sit there with Artaxasta and his own intimate family and his drinking buddy, as we saw, which is something that's very, very special. And it's because of that that Artaxasta just tells him, cut the garbage, just tell me what you want, and let's get it done. And it's an amazing, amazing pasuk back at the beginning. So nobody knows this. And as soon as it begins to be exposed that he not only has no fear of trampling on the king's toes, but that it's even worse, he really is totally independent. In other words, everybody else we can point to as having some kind of personal benefit from taking on the role of the Pacha. And that's what it's been all along. It's like a bunch of Arabs pushing each other, negotiating with each other. And that's what they call the Pacha all through the years. But the Turks, it was exactly the same thing, you know. So they still had the Pacha. And that's what they were fighting about all the time and killing each other for and so on. I mean, you get the Pacha and you get all the money that's involved and the food that's involved and the special Pacha house that's involved and so on and so forth. So it's great. It's like a, you know, fantastic job. This guy, as he makes it very clear, not only doesn't take anything from the Pacha, and he points this out. Now, who else points that out? Moshe Rabbeinu? Lo chamor echad bichem nasati. Shmuel? Shimshon? Me'olam lo bikashti afilo shiyitlu li makli lebeit ha-merchatz? Anyone who is in a position of needing to boss you around needs to make it clear, as Yosef HaTzadik had to make it clear, I take zero. And what it is that I do, I pay out of my pocket. Just like Shmuel went around, no, I'm sorry, I don't stay at anybody's home. I live in my own motor home, and I don't need anybody. And that's what he said. I made myself poor over this. Everything I did was from my own. Did not take advantage of anything. There's nothing wrong in his doing that. Obviously, if we see Moshe Rabbeinu did it, if we see that Shmuel does it, and so on. But it's more than that. What's essential over here is that because this is for the first time that he's put himself out there in the public eye as being the one who now has to take all the fallout, he's going to be the one that is going to sit there and say, look, gentlemen, we're going to get this done, come hell or high water, with the mob around him, right? With him being able to tell them, gentlemen, I want you to know that anybody who's not going to get this done is finito. He will end up with the great curse, and I bring the Kohanim right here to apply the curse. No more possessions, no more home, no more estate, no more future. Sure, you have your choice, do what you like. It's terrifying. So it's in a moment like that, that obviously he has to define for everyone and for all the Derech, this had nothing to do with me. And I took nothing from it. And the understanding of the Man D'Omer, who says there was nothing wrong in his comparing himself with the other Pachim, was very clear, because he wasn't saying that they were bad. He was saying that the lechem of the Pacha is so absolutely taken for granted that that's what's essential, and that's what it means to be able to run the government. You're not meant to run the government out of your own bank account. That even Daniel did this. I mean, it's just a given. For somebody to do differently means that they understand that they have been actually running the Pacha differently. And that because of that, they have to be machmer on themselves in a way that no one until that time ever had to be machmer. We were concerned about the fact that he traces this through the entire period in which he apparently is writing in the future going back to the past, right? Because he says, Va'at shnat shloshim v'shtayim la'tachshasta melech. And therefore, we thought that, okay, if this is just a note that he puts in afterwards, we cannot see it as being necessarily part of the achievement of the Perek. But that's not true. With this new understanding, then it means that in order for him to establish that his activity of utilizing the Pachut as literally a Malchut, and not just as a Memshala, but in representing the Am entirely, then therefore he needs to make it clear that that never changed, that it wasn't an element of manipulation, it was the essence of what he was. And therefore, I'm adding at the end. You think that it was only then? All through the years, every last minute of those 12 years, this is the way that I acted, because that's what it was for me, not just that's what was politically expedient for me, what I needed to do at the time. And therefore, what he's saying over here is, in fact, absolutely necessary for our Perek, whether it's in terms of the way that he's dealing with the nobles and with the rich people in Yerushalayim who needed to be brought under his thumb, so to speak, to recognize what it means not to be Nesha in Bnei Yisrael, what it means to be an Am that is Viniflino and will no longer be Nosei Chervat HaGoyim, in which he needed to assert that he has the right to apply a klala that is similar to the klala of a Saita and utilize the Kohanim to, and then be Mavarech on it with the Hallelujah Shem Hashem and so on and so forth. What a chutzpah. And the only way that such a thing can be done is if somebody actually can establish that Lo Chamor Echad Michem Nasat. Absolutely. That part would be fine. Why the Zochreni Laila Tova? I think one of the important nekudas is that we say that also. And we only say it on Yom HaDin. In other words, it's Elohai specifically. It's Midas HaDin. Where we say, Zochreinu L'tova B'yom. It's always in terms of the din. Of the Yale, the Yavo, the Yagia. Or whether it's in terms of the din of Rosh Hashanah. Zochreinu L'tova. And this is essentially what he is saying too. That's why a lot of the inyanim that occur over here, the public inyanim occur on Rosh Hashanah, B'chodesh HaShvi'i, various stages in Chodesh HaShvi'i. And therefore, the fact that he has possibly been overstating his authority and utilizing the kayach that was not really invested in him and does not have the right to assert malchus here over Bnei Yisrael, which nonetheless he did, there's a bakosha to be done him the kafzchus, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be zeicha l'teva because his kavana was the tevas Yisrael v'harai. I never took anything for myself. So both points of view, understandably, you can see that whatever issue Chazal identified, it's only a hint. The phraseology is wrong. The elements that may reflect to others as being as if he's being somehow mitchabed b'klon acherim or something like that, or believing that people have schuyot that will stand on their own. You want to be tailor b'schut atzmecha and not making it clear that you mean that it should be a zechira be'es hadin, you know, which we all talk about. Well, what's wrong with our talking about it? If he says, Zochreinu L'tova B'yom Adin Azer, Zochreinu L'tova B'yom Rosh HaKodesh Hazeh, it's also, it doesn't necessarily mean that he's Taylor B'Zchus Atzma. It's the combination of saying, particularly, this is what I did for the Am, and because of that, you could be Taylor. That's already a dangerous thing to say, because you don't have the right, as the Rambam says, you don't have the right to define what that Zchus is. You only can be mavakish, the schus. Once you start defining, this is my schus, and therefore, then it becomes a pagan. However we understand it, but that means that we need to see this unbelievable development as part of the genius, of the same genius in which each stage was calibrated to work for its time without raising the suspicions and the hackles of those that were dangerous and could have crushed it early on and allowed things to develop and emerge in ways that no one ever believed. In exactly the same way, he's doing this for his own position in order to be able to achieve things that no one thought were achievable. So that the more that you see the subtlety of Daniel and the clarity of his thinking, the more impressed you, not Nehemiah, I'm sorry, Nehemiah, the more impressed you are. And one of the beautiful psukim that show us a beautiful pasuk that he just like a throw-out line. His pasuk zay. Vayimalech libi alai v'yariva et achorim et asaganim. A very strange lashon. Vayimalech libi alai. Okay, so vayimalech alai libi. So most people, like the Mitzvahist, understands it. That's, you know, I followed the dictates of my heart, so to speak, you know. But the Malbim has a fascinating alternative, because the Lashon is very strange. Vayimalech libi alai seems to be saying that my heart asked an Eitzah from me. Right? What's that? Yes, the same Lashon, yeah. I'll bring this, that the Yimalech means to ask the Eitzah, right? So the Yimalech libi alai would imply that when I do things, despite the fact that it's with my entire heart, with the depth of feeling that I talked about how it affected me to see the way people were treated, and the Vayichar mi ma'od, but my heart always spoke to me first, before I decided what to do. So that he talks about himself as a person and how he reaches decisions in this beautiful way that my heart always speaks to my being first. It's not spontaneous decisions. Everything is clearly al pi haseichel, al pi the triage of what needs to be done, and I'll be the vision that I spoke of lechatchila, mashabili bila, so that nobody really knew and nobody suspected. Here, for the first time, it comes out just in a subconscious line about how it is that he proceeded. I think that's like the first real hint that he's thrown out about himself as a human being, that you really feel, you get a taste, not just an understanding, but a taste of the man from the inside. So that gives us some, I think, additional information to be able to understand the psukim better and to be able to understand what it is that he's going through in order to be able to achieve the things that he achieves. And then once again, Bezrat Hashem, next week we'll have a better chance to actually get through one of the psukim. You know, it could happen. All right, anyway, sorry about the change in time, but, you know, I'm afraid things beyond my control got in the way of that one. So lovely, lovely seeing you as usual. And thank you so much for not giving up, and we'll keep moving ahead. But what can I say? It's been mamish, just a fantastic limud, getting to know this man, getting to know this Nechemia, and to watch something that appeared to be so simple and so unsubtle and so primitive and so... to be full of mamish, the entire flow of the Torah and the love and the understanding of what Yisrael is through the Torah and all of its different formations has just been an amazing, amazing limud for me. So thank you very, very much for being there and for participating. And please, now that we have to get moving, please send in your additional ha'aretz. Laila tov and feel well.
Thank you so much, Rebbe.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Have a good night.
Thanks, Ravi. Have a great one.